if I told you about a new industry that would come into your state where billions in economic interest would be generated and 20% of the population would pay close attention, be excited about it, and be involved? Would you favor bringing this new industry in? What if I told you that those who invested, and I use this term loosely, would lose 8 to 10% of their investment? I'm Richard Nelson with the Commonwealth Matters, and we appreciate you joining us. You probably have an idea that I'm talking about legalized sports gambling, which came online in Kentucky in 2023. And joining us to talk further about sports gambling and the detrimental effects it has on individuals and communities is Les Bernal of Stop Predatory Gambling. Les, welcome to the Commonwealth Matters.
Thank you for having me.
Les, you have been involved with this battle of big gambling, monopolized gambling, exploiting people, exploiting the vulnerable. But sports gambling is a fairly new phenomena. Consider some of the numbers since legalized sports gambling has spread across the country. Prior to 2018, it was only legal in the state of Nevada. Since then, 38 states and the District of Columbia have legalized it. In 2018, there was $4.6 billion bet, mostly in Nevada, on sporting events. Last year, 2025, $500 billion, according to one estimate, was legally wagered in the United States. That's an increase of over 1,100%. Now, surveys estimate that about 20% of the adult population, that's one in five, reported placing a sports bet in the past year. That's roughly 60 million people. And consider this, losses to bettors is in the billions, according to one legal sports betting organization in Nevada. Typically 8% to 10% of the amount wagered is won by the sports book. Let me translate that. That means that in 2025, sports gamblers in the United States lost an estimated $40 to $50 billion. Now, I'm going to defer to the expert here, Les Bernal. Les, do these numbers sound accurate? I know you're on top of this more than we are at the Commonwealth Policy Center, but do these numbers that I just shared sound accurate?
They're completely accurate, and because online gambling, especially online sports gambling, has taken over American sports. There is no single act of state government in Kentucky or any other state that inflicts more harm on the financial, social, and mental well-being of the people of Kentucky than the institution of predatory gambling, but especially online gambling, which we refer to as gambling fentanyl. So those numbers that you talk about really are just the reported numbers. Those are just the tip of the iceberg. And the key numbers to us is the impact this is having on families and the everyday American people, and especially how young adults across this country, especially young males, are experiencing an epidemic of gambling addiction. It's metastasized across our country, and especially in Kentucky, which is a state, which I was appalled to realize this. I did not know this when the law went through, that the state of Kentucky allows 18-year-olds to gamble online in sports. Like, this is gambling fentanyl. And the state of Kentucky has unleashed this on its own people.
Of course, Kentucky has a long history of legalized gambling. We've got Churchill Downs here in Keeneland, and people have bet on the horses. Now, I would argue, by the way, just a side note, I want to ask, how has that worked for Kentucky?
Yeah. So a few things. One is, when the state government, whether it's Kentucky or any other state, says they're going to regulate, I mean that in quotes, regulate commercialized gambling, they're not regulating it to protect you or your family, your coworkers, the people you care about in your life. The state regulates this to make sure it gets its fair cut of the profits. Yeah. So like the business practices that inflict the most harm on the citizens of Kentucky when it comes to gambling, the business practices that inflict the most harm and the state should be, quote unquote, regulating, are the same business practices that produce the most revenue to the state. So you have this irreconcilable conflict of interest that exists when the state promotes these extreme forms of gambling. We call it like putting Dracula in charge of the blood bank. And that's this. So people were already, it was already legal prior to 2018 or prior to 2023 when Kentucky legalized this. It was already legal for the people of Kentucky to place a sports bet. You and I could make a friendly wager on a sporting event with each other. We could do that. Or with our friends, we could already do that. What was illegal is we couldn't run a commercialized sports book, okay? And the reason for that is, even though it's a highly addictive product, and people, you know, it ruins people's lives from a public health perspective. That's not why it was illegal in Kentucky. It's illegal, and it's still illegal in Kentucky unless you partner with the state. And the reason for that is it's because it's a con. It's a form of consumer financial fraud in the family of price gouging and false advertising. So in summary, that narrative that you laid out, like, those are cookie cutter talking points that the gambling industry has used in every state in America to try to ram this through, because there is no grassroots movement for any of these forms of commercialized gambling that the state is partnering with the gambling industry on. There's, no one was demanding an online sports book in their home or in their kid's bedroom.
Les, how do you respond to this? A charge that I've heard over and over is, what concern is it to you if people want to spend your money that way? If they want to bet on a game, or if they want to sign up for DraftKings or FanDuel and lay their money down, what's that to you or to me for that matter? How do you respond to that?
So a few things. One is, today in America, we have, including in Kentucky, we have a system of taxation by exploitation in terms of the way that states are relying on the institution of predatory gambling to promote more and more extreme forms of gambling. As I mentioned earlier, it was already legal for folks to bet on sports. You were already free to bet on sports in Kentucky, but you're not free to take advantage of your neighbor. You're not free to exploit your neighbor. So what these sports books are doing is they're exploiting tens of thousands of Kentucky citizens, especially young people, 18-year-olds, with these extreme forms of gambling. And it's been an epic public policy failure. So when all these folks lose their money, all the folks that don't gamble in your state, the 2/3 of the public that rarely gambles, you pay even if you don't play. They're infringing upon your freedom, these gambling companies, because they don't pay for the financial costs that this public policy inflicts on the people of Kentucky. Who pays for the housing subsidies when these people lose all their money? Who pays for the criminal incarceration costs? Who pays for the healthcare subsidies when people can't pay their healthcare bills? You do, the taxpayer. No one in Kentucky today is paying less taxes because of the millions and millions of dollars that the people of Kentucky are losing to the institution of predatory gambling in your state.
Les, if you could help clarify something. You said that before the sports books got involved, that Kentuckians could put money down on a sporting event. Do you mean that they'd have to go to, let's say, a racetrack to do that?
No, I mean, you and I, if I was next door to you right now in Kentucky, and we want to make a friendly wager on the Louisville basketball game against the University of Kentucky, we could already make that wager with each other. Like, we can make wagers. March Madness brackets, the Super Bowl office pool, all those forms of gambling were already legal. No one was cracking down on those games. What was illegal is you and I could not run our own commercialized sports book, meaning we couldn't be the house. And because it's become a cliche now in American society. People kind of like, well, the house always wins when we talk about commercialized gambling. What that really means is, the longer you participate in it, it's not a question of if you're going to lose all your money. It's just a matter of when. It's how long is it going to take before not only do you lose your money, but go deep into debt because of it. It's a con. And we don't allow other forms of financial fraud in our country. But the only reason why this financial fraud is happening is because states are partnering with the industry. And I do want to make a distinction, because Kentucky does have a unique history with horse racing. Horse racing is pari-mutuel wagering. Okay, so you're not going up against the house when you're doing pari-mutuel wagering. I'm not endorsing those forms of gambling, but just to be clear, like, I wouldn't be doing this work if we were just talking about horse racing in Kentucky. There's a pari-mutuel wagering. When more money comes in on one horse, the odds change. Like, you know what I mean? It's a totally different experience, and the amount of money people lose is totally different. And traditionally, it was like, used to be, you know, 10 races a day at the track, you know, and then it would be over. You go home, you know, does this horse run better on a muddy track, whatever? Like, you'd study the racing form, you have 20 minutes between each race. Today, you have people wagering like every 5 seconds. Yeah. On a sporting event, like every pitch of a baseball game, every play of a basketball game. Like, is this next pitch in the game going to be a ball or a strike? Is the next play in the football game going to be a run or a pass? Like, anything you can imagine. It's like playing a slot machine on your phone. And it's young people who have grown up with this technology who are suffering the most harm.
And to be clear, this is possible because of the technology we have. We've got smartphones, and then you've got these apps, these gaming apps, FanDuel and DraftKings and MGM Sportsbook. And you can download these apps. It's very easy to skirt the age verification laws, by the way. And you can use it just like you would a casino. It's like having a casino in your back pocket. To add to this, Les, you have a lot of advertising. We've seen it in the last couple of years. We see major ads in the middle of games, pro games, college games. Young people in particular, young boys especially, are being targeted with this. And you'd mentioned the devastating impact it has on young boys and young men. Do we have any numbers as far as how many may be gambling and the kind of losses that they're racking up?
Yeah, well, there's been several major studies about the massive financial harm that's affecting, you know, particularly young males in America today. But the number one kind of indicator I like to kind of point to folks on is that the number one demographic calling gambling addiction hotlines today in the country. You have problem gambling counselors going, you know, talking in media outlets, continuing to point this out, that the number one demographic calling gambling addiction hotlines are young adults and teens. Okay, like that was never happening before. And in many instances, you have moms, you know, moms on the phone with their teenage sons calling gambling addiction hotlines. So like this is an epidemic. If you talk to any high school principal or middle school principal and ask if they're seeing an epidemic of predatory gambling or commercialized gambling on their school campuses, in their school locker rooms, the school cafeterias, school playgrounds, and so on, to a person, they're going to say yes. Kids used to grow up collecting like baseball cards of their favorite athletes. You know, and now you have kids talking about parlay bets on the school playground, what the odds are going to be, what the point spreads are. Like, that is a totally foreign experience for young people in America today.
There's a proverb that says, when a land transgresses, it has many rulers, but with a man of understanding and knowledge, its stability will long continue. The idea here is that when people live without regard to their neighbors and without moral boundaries, then you need more government to restrain people who've gone off the rails. So if people are going to flourish, God's truth must be embraced. After all, God tells us who we are, what's our purpose, and how to live in harmony with our fellow man. Christians should understand what God's word says and how to think biblically about the issues so that they can engage well. To stay up to date with what's going on in Kentucky, subscribe to CPC's newsletter. Go to CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org to subscribe, and you can also find other resources there. Thank you, and may God bless you.
Les, it was just 2 weeks ago that the U.S. Attorney's Office of the Eastern District of Pennsylvania dropped a bombshell indictment involving a gambling scheme to fix college basketball and Chinese Basketball Association games. In this indictment, they allege that 39 NCAA basketball players were involved in a point-shaving scheme between 2023 and 2025. They charged 26 individuals with this scheme. 29 games were fixed. Millions of dollars were raked in. Are you surprised that we're seeing this? And by the way, I've talked to several legislators just in the last couple of days, and I argue that this is the kind of thing that we could expect if we legalize sports gambling. Talked to several legislators who haven't even heard this news. Are you surprised, first of all, at this news that we're hearing?
You know, this is to be expected. This is why for most of the last 100 years, professional sports leagues and the NCAA strongly opposed the introduction of sports gambling, commercialized sports gambling across the country for reasons, all the things you're talking about, because it damages the integrity of the games. It threatens the lives of athletes. Like the amount of verbal abuse and physical abuse and, yeah, you know, that young athletes especially are facing online, like that was not happening before. You know, you guys who sit on the bench, the 12th man in a basketball game, they go in at the end of the game, you know, and they hit a free throw. And all of a sudden, because it changes the point spread, you have, you know, a torrent of online abuse to this player who's just worked his whole life to get into these games. Like, it's just, it's changed the experience of being a sports fan in America. But in the big picture, all those scandals you talk about, that's one of like dozens of scandals that have happened over the last 6 or 7 years since the legalization of commercialized sports gambling across this country. And it underscores how the institution of predatory gambling has been an epic public policy failure because it's cruel, oppressive, and fixed.
Yeah, that's good. I've heard it argued for the last several years that this expanded sports gambling will bring more fans in. More people will be interested in the games. They're going to follow a team. I think what we're seeing is it's actually brought more gamblers into the picture. And they're not concerned about how the team does. They're concerned about how their bottom line does. Case in point, just at a couple of family events over Thanksgiving and at Christmas, we were watching some of the ball games. I grew up in Green Bay, so I'm a Packers fan. I'm rooting for my Packers on Thanksgiving Day. And there were some family members, other side of the family that didn't grow up in Green Bay. And they were upset at the game. I'm like, man, these are the Packers. This is my team. And they said, yeah, but I got money on so-and-so. It was a Detroit Lions running back. And I'm like, man, this is not being a fan. It's not enjoying the game. It's not rooting for someone. It's about your bottom line. I saw the same thing at the Christmas as well, when something similar happens. So yeah. I'd say
there's greed. Term is greed. We've changed the American sporting experience. Used to be people used to watch for the drama and the competition. And now the experience is centered around greed. And you have people who are wagering relentlessly on these games. They don't even know who the players are. They couldn't tell you some of the names, who these people are. They're just wagering on just random events happening to keep them in constant action. It is absolutely appalling to anyone with this. If you care about the direction of Kentucky or any in this country, like, you know, predatory gambling, the institution of predatory gambling is exhibit A about what's broken about our country. It's what we advertise. Gambling advertising and marketing is what we advertise today to the American people more than anything else. And what we incentivize to the American people, it shapes our national character.
By the way, in the Department of Justice indictment that was handed down, they discovered that bribes were played to 26 players, ranging between $10,000 and $1,000 per game. Les, how can you resist that? If you're a college ball player, college students don't have any money.
And sometimes it's not even for them. Like, they're doing it to benefit their friends. You know, they think, you know, when you're like in that age group, and I can speak from experience, when I was a young guy, like, your decision making, it isn't always as sharp as it should be, because you just don't have enough wisdom yet. Your brain isn't fully developed. So you have young people making these decisions that, like, change the arc of their lives. And they just think they're helping out their friends. And in many instances, you know, they're being threatened to do this. Like, they have family members who are like, I'm in big debt. I owe money here. And can you just do this for me? We'll make some. That's a lot of those types of stories as well, where they're getting their family members and the people they care about in their life are being pressured, are pressuring these athletes to do this type of activity. So one is, just to be clear, and I should have mentioned this earlier, like, so we spent the majority of our conversation talking about online sports gambling, but DraftKings, FanDuel, BetMGM, these other online gambling operators, what they are at their core are online casino operators. So they make money on online sports gambling, but it's primarily used as a customer acquisition tool. The end game for all of these companies is to you know, they like to call it iGaming to make it look like it's something harmless, like people playing video games. But iGaming is internet casino gambling. And in state after state, they want to legalize internet casino gambling. And it's currently 8 states have legalized it. And it's been a complete epic disaster. As big as a disaster sports gambling's been, internet casino gambling has been like literally like just lighting people's homes on fire. Like, it's a gambling equivalent of just destroying, you know, family after family across our country.
So let's, to be clear, let me interrupt if I could. To be clear, it's like they're doing, instead of just using the sports betting apps, they can actually, let's say, do roulette wheels or
online. Yes, yeah, so you have to get it legalized, poker. Not legally. Yeah.
And they're doing it on their phones. Is that correct?
On computer, online slot machines, online blackjack, online roulette, all the casino type games. That's where the money is. So in a state like Michigan, the gambling industry was able to ram through a bill that legalized both online sports gambling and online casino gambling all at once. To put real numbers on it, 90%, okay, 90% of the gambling revenue coming into the state is coming from the online casino portion of the business. And just 10% is coming from the online sports books. So that's what this is. All of this is, that's where the real money is. And so, and the big picture, like China is presently our biggest military and economic rival. And like, China is not unleashing online gambling on its young people. You know, like, they're not feeding on its own people with these extreme forms of gambling. Like, here we are in America, just destroying an entire generation of young people with online gambling. Like, it's like, who are we doing this for? And it's not driven by public demand. When you say what's the line in the sand, like, it's when your viewers and the citizens of Kentucky and across our country, like, this is broken. If you want to get America back on a meaningful track where we're truly to make America great again, we need to change the institution of predatory gambling and get government, state governments out of the gambling business. Because this is, that's exhibit A. That's what we advertise to the American people more than anything else. And it starts with state lotteries. And then you got the electronic gambling machines in your state. And now they've piled on online gambling on top of that. It's failed. It's been an epic public policy failure in the last 50 years.
We have, and I agree. However, one point I do disagree. It seems to me, and I could be wrong on this, it seems to me that we are hurting ourselves based on popular demand. It's either the industry is convincing us that this is what we want, but these legislators that, again, I've debated, I've had private conversations, I've publicly debated, they're convinced that their constituents are saying that they want this. Now, they're still in office. They've not lost their seats over this, but they're convinced that people want it. And the numbers show that Kentuckians are gambling. They're pouring money into it.
There was no grassroots movement in Kentucky for sports gambling. This was not driven by, when we say public demand, they've created a public demand. That's why they spent millions and millions of dollars advertising this product to lure Kentucky citizens, especially young males, to sign up on these apps. You know, that's why it was. So people in Kentucky were already placing friendly sports bets. When we say people, there was demand for this. People, when you say sports gambling, the average person in Kentucky thought you were talking about March Madness brackets and Super Bowl office pools, because that technically falls under sports gambling, but it's social gambling. The people of Kentucky had no idea what was going to be unleashed on them with this product. And that's why in states like Missouri, in every state, these guys, in states that have a referendum process, they barely pass. You know, they have to spend like tens of millions of dollars to drag these things across the finish line because they almost lose. And they'll spend $40 million in Missouri and they won by like 2,000 votes statewide out of 2 million votes cast. Like, it's like, so people don't want this. It's not like this isn't driven by, you know, just to clarify that. It's not, you know, people, if you put this on the ballot in Kentucky, I'm suggesting to you the people of Kentucky, would roll this back.
Yeah, no, very good. 2 weeks ago, the NCAA president, Charlie Baker, called on state gambling commissions to ban gambling on individual prop bets and other high-risk prop bets such as first half unders. What are the chances of state legislatures embracing that? I should mention that in Kentucky, there's a legislator who is sponsoring a bill that would ban prop betting. It would also increase the minimum age of gambling on sporting events from 18 to 21. We're pushing for this bill. We're going to lobby our legislature hard. What's your take on other states embracing this idea? We're going to ban prop bets. It's very addictive. We're seeing young people get involved and they're developing compulsions and addictions. Are any other states going to pass this year, do you think?
Yeah, there's other similar legislation has been filed in other states. So, I mean, just to give this is a true movement that's been spreading across the country that's attracting both folks from the political right and the political left who are speaking out in opposition to what's been happening with the institution of predatory gambling, especially online sports gambling. So in at least two states, the state of Maryland and the state of Vermont, there's bills to actually repeal online sports gambling. So like that's the future of this. The idea that we're going to regulate our way out of this mess, it's fantasy world. It's not living in reality. The solution to this epidemic of predatory gambling that's metastasized across our country is to begin to roll back this failed public policy.
So if you were to come here and speak in front of our state legislature, what would you tell them regarding sports gambling? Would you say just be done with it? I mean, it's almost like the cat's out of the bag, right? It's hard to put it back.
No, I'm at line. I hear that a lot. They phrase it as, hey, Les, you know, the toothpaste is out of the tube. Yeah. Right? That's the line they'll say. But think about it. If let's use that real analogy. That was a real life toothpaste. So there was a toothpaste company that created a toothpaste that was causing an epidemic of addiction amongst millions of American males, that was causing millions of American people to lose billions of dollars, suffer life-changing financial losses, that was, you know, causing life-changing addictions and suicide and everything else. We wouldn't say, hey, you know what the solution is to this toothpaste? Let's just put it back in the tube. Like we would throw that toothpaste into the trash, and every state attorney general in this country, including the state attorney general in Kentucky, would sue the makers of that toothpaste for the harm they inflicted on the people of Kentucky. And that's the solution to it. Like for 100 years, we survived without legalized sports gambling. And all of a sudden, like oh, we can't turn, we just can't, like, we can't all of a sudden roll this back and somehow suck it forever. Like, who are we kidding? Like, this has been, there's no public support for this. It's driven by this powerful financial industry in partnership with a handful of public officials of both parties who lust for more power. That's what drives it.
That's a historical note as to why we've gone so many years without legalized sports gambling was because of what happened in the early 90s when the Chicago Black Sox threw the World Series. And Major League Baseball realized that they had a crisis. They were going to probably fall apart unless they had an absolute ban, zero tolerance policy for players, coaches, or any gambling that would come even close to their sports. And they were on the vanguard. Look, Pete Rose is still banned from being in the Hall of Fame because of his gambling activity. And we see that it corrupts people. It corrupts the integrity of the game. And it's almost like we've got to see hit rock bottom to see that again. We're running out of time. I want to close on this note, if I could. For the average person listening to this program, or watching this program for that matter, we're on two TV stations as well. What do you recommend to them? What can the average person who's concerned about this, they want to push against this, what would you recommend to them?
Priority one is you have to make rolling back the institution of predatory gambling one of your priorities. So when you talk to your public officials, you need to let them know that this is an issue that you're going to base your vote on, because you want to, if you're serious about improving your family, improving your community, improving Kentucky, and improving our country, you can't do any of those things if the public voice of government is the institution of predatory gambling. It's where we advertise to the American people more than anything else. And what we shape, if you want to change the morality in the public square and improve economic opportunity for everything else, it runs through taking state governments like Kentucky's out of the predatory gambling business.
Yeah. That's good. And on that note, we're going to close the program. Les Bernal of Stop Predatory Gambling, we appreciate you joining us, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thanks for the invitation.